Today I thought we would pause in our study in Hebrews and think about a lady in the Old Testament named Hannah. Since this is Mother's Day, I wanted to talk about an issue of the heart. Now, in our story, Hannah is not a mom. As a matter of fact, she's a lady who was tormented because she wasn't a mom. But God gave us this story in the life of this, I'm going to call her a young lady, I don't know how old she was, this young lady that he wants us to know, and he wants us to remember. So even though this is Mother's Day, this message from our God is for all of us. I invite you to turn to 1 Samuel. And I'll begin with verse 5. This continues a story about a man named Elkanah, a woman named Peninnah, and a woman named Hannah. Listen to God's holy word. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. That's Elkanah loved Hannah more. And the Lord closed her womb, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's mercy and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever be put on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." Before we consider God's holy word and the truth of God from this text, shall we pray? Father, thank you for preserving this story in our Christian history. Thank you for allowing Hannah to turn her eyes to you. And thank you for hearing her. Now, as we think about this text, would you cause us to remember that the God who heard Hannah hears today? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let me just make a couple of observations before we go to the text. The first is this: there are three people involved in the cast in this story: Elkanah, Peninnah, and Hannah. Hannah's name, incidentally, means favor. Her namesake meant that the favor of God would rest upon her. And in this story, at this present moment, the favor of God didn't seem to be resting on her. God's design for marriage is one man and one woman. And yet we see here one man and two women. God doesn't condone this relationship and say this is how it's supposed to happen. What he's doing in this relationship, I believe, is two things. Number one, he didn't neglect to work his work of grace in their lives because they were living inappropriately before him. Nothing would stop God's work of grace. Secondly, He underlines problems that can happen to us when we take ourselves out of God's design. Now, here's what's happening. Peninnah had children. Hannah didn't. Peninnah grieved Hannah. Elkanah gave Hannah more, which grieved Peninnah. He couldn't love them equally. He loved one more than the other. And that produced in their relationship struggle, deep struggle, so that Hannah poured out her heart to the Lord. Now, I want us to learn something from this. The first is, it is always appropriate to pour your heart out to the Lord and tell him what's going on in life. He knows, but it teaches us that he cares and that he can speak to those issues. The second thing, that she lifted her eyes to the Lord and found her help in him. Now, another word of caution before I read this. Hannah prayed to the Lord and said, if you give me a son, then I will give him. And on the surface, it sounds like she was bargaining with God. You take away this problem, and if you do this, I'll give him to you. And then the next section in 1 Samuel, he gives Hannah and Elkanah a son, Samuel. Samuel was the last, one of the greatest judges in Israel's history, and he was a prophet of God, and he anointed two kings, Saul and David. And what a wonderful expression of God's grace from this period of sadness in Hannah's life. But be careful. God can't be manipulated or bribed. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is this is happening within a covenant relationship between God and his people. And I'm going to read a little later on a portion out of Deuteronomy that God told his people, if you keep my covenant, I'll do this, but if you break it, your women will not have children. So here's this covenant woman who, in all evidence, is keeping God's covenant, but her womb is closed. So she prays to her father and says, remember me. God didn't forget, but remember me. And he answers her. He's a God who keeps his promises. He's a God whose ears are in tune to us. The worst thing that Hannah could have done would have been to keep the issues to herself and not turn to the Lord. Let's learn the lessons told to us in Hannah's life. Let's consider first, verse 10, a wounded heart. A wounded heart. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. We had mothers stand up just a little while ago, and I want to talk to the husbands for a moment. Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said? You thought you were helping, but the words came out, and it wasn't helpful at all. In our text, Hannah's praying out to the Lord, and Elkanah says, "Aren't I more important than 10 sons?" Now, to me, I would think, yeah, that's an appropriate question. See, I love you, and I don't care that you don't have children. You shouldn't be crying. What's wrong with you? Aren't I more important to you? But I wonder what happened and what Hannah heard. The text doesn't tell us, but I wonder if she heard, here again, I don't have any children. He's frustrated with me. I hate myself. She won't leave me alone. Where do I turn? Her heart was wounded because of external pressure. You know, there's a question that people ask, why do Bad things happen to good people. Bad things do happen. We live in a fallen world, don't we? And in a situation where God meant a relationship to be blessed and to be mutually encouraging and fulfilling, that it was pain for her. Her very heart was wounded. Listen to these words again. Starting with verse 6 of 1 Samuel, it says, "And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and could not eat." That word provoked means to move to a place of anger. Have you ever been irritated by somebody? Children do this all the time. They poke each other. Oh, they say something that they know their siblings that will get upset and go, you're provoking me. You're provoking me. Stop touching. You're provoking. That's not the type of provoking that this is talking about. This is talking about a deep-seated hurt that Peninnah irritated, provoked Hannah year after year after year after year. Now, if we're not careful, we could believe that God's saying he doesn't notice what's happening. Hannah prayed to God, "Would you give me relief?" First year, he doesn't give her relief. The second year, Peninnah keeps going on. He doesn't give her relief. Third year, he doesn't give her relief. Year after year, this happens. God eventually answers, but my question to you is, what do you do in that case where you're waiting for God to give you deliverance? Does he care enough? Does he notice that this is happening? Hannah teaches us through her interactions with God that she believed God did hear, because she prayed. She turned her eyes to Jesus. That provoking produced in Hannah an inner struggle. Look, if you will, to that inner struggle. Look at verse 10. "And bitterness of soul." Bitterness of soul. Bitterness moves from anger and resentment. Bitterness is a seed that festers within and affects every aspect of our lives. So the outlook, even the pleasurable, the pleasant things of life, is overshadowed by that bitterness. Hannah was in a condition where her soul was crushed. What should have been a safe place for her in her home turned out to be crushing. Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed in your life, are you experiencing what Hannah experienced? Do you have pressure from someone outside, unfair pressure, something that's without your control, but it's producing in you an anguish that's beginning to root up in bitterness? What do you do with that? Hannah could have considered God and said, "In Deuteronomy, you said, if we don't keep your covenant, you would close the womb. But I'm in your temple all the time. Year after year, I engage in worship. Why are you doing this? You see Peninnah. Nick. Picking at me. You hear her. You know how those words bite." You're going to let that go on. Why should I worship you? Why should I give you any honor? I had enough. Hannah could have done that. But I want to suggest to you that if she had, the rest of the story would have played out differently. that the Ancient of Days, we sang about that, the Ancient of Days, the one who's faithful from the beginning and throughout all eternity, he would have still been faithful, but Hannah would have removed herself and not sought the Lord. But I thank God that she turned her eyes to her covenant God, the one who cared for her. Several times in the Old Testament, God says he remembers someone. And it's not that he forgot. It's a wonderful expression that he pours his favor on. He turns his attention to, and he answers. Hannah lifted her eyes to the Lord. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Now get this, the maker of heaven and earth. I've made things in my life. One of the first things I made I'm going to use the name of the course, and some of you will know it, it's called something else now, home economics. How many of you remember home economics? The first thing I made in home economics was a vest. And I was proud of that vest. It was one that was made out of velour, and it was gold on the outside, and I forget, I think it was orange on the inside. Don't look at me like that. It was beautiful. It had all the buttons, and it fit me perfectly. When I wore it, I closed it better than I just did. But one problem, one side was shorter than the other. I wore that proudly. You see, the maker of heaven and earth didn't make a vest one side bigger than the other. He created everything that exists, and he holds everything by the power of his word. That's the one to whom we look. And as if the psalmist is telling us, look to the Lord because he can answer. Was there anything too hard for God? Hannah believed, no. So I turn my eyes to him. I ask you, if you're in a place where Hannah was, nobody else will know. Nobody else will know. I mean, we're really good at masking, aren't we? I was working out with somebody else the other day. Another pastor was sweating like nobody's business, working out a lot harder than I was. And I went over to him and said, hi. Hi. In my heart, I wanted to interrupt his workout because he was getting more benefit. And I started to look at him, and I'm going, boy, he looks a little more in shape than I am. On the outside, all he saw was another pastor coming to him and said, hi. On the inside, I masked what was in my heart. Do you do that? Are you in the position where there's bitterness there? There's deep hurt there. And you ask yourself this question, where do I turn? Where do I go? I'm going to encourage you to lift your eyes to the hills, to the Lord of the hills, and recognize, like Hannah, your help comes from him. The second thing we learn from Hannah is this. In her weariness of heart, she made an honest expression of faith to God. Look again at verse 13. It says Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but a voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah prayed. I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord. The first thing I notice about Hannah is an honest expression of grief. I grew up in a church where it was encouraged to be happy all the time. How are you this morning? And I, as a matter of course, because I'm used to it, when people say, how are you? I go, great. My leg fell off. I'm great. Don't worry about me. Sometimes people believe that that's how God would want us to relate to him. He has enough problems, doesn't he? If you don't believe me, open your paper and read. There are enough concerns. He really doesn't want to hear from me, does he? Yes, he does. Hannah taught us in weariness of heart, pour out to the Lord. I love the book of Psalms. Psalms teaches us to tell God the truth. Tell God where your heart is, so that you can learn that God listens to you. I had a friend who used to tell me, I got your back. I'll back you up. What he meant was way back. Have you ever met somebody like that? Way back. I'd go to him and, hey, you said you'd help me. I don't know who you are. Don't come to me. Do you ever think that God's like that? It's okay when we sing Ancient of Days and Be Unto Your Name. We're going to sing later on. What's that? Thank you. In Christ alone. It's okay when we sing that and we praise him. He drinks that up. That's wonderful. But don't go to him with a complaint, with a heart condition. Don't go to him with that. Do you believe that? Hannah didn't. She believed that you can cast your care on him. Listen to Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me explain to you what that picture of rest is. In Psalm 121, the latter part of Psalm 121 says that God is our keeper. He will keep us. That word keep means he guards us. He's the guardian of our souls. I grew up, I was that big around, scared of my own shadow. The person who protected me, mostly my brother, but us, was our sister. She was tough. She would take on the bullies in our neighborhood. She was older than us. And when I got in trouble, I'd hide behind her. I'm not proud of it, but it happened. And she became the person that took care of us. Who takes care of our souls? God does. He says, come to me. Why does he say that? Because some of us refuse to. Some of us say, I got this. Some of us say, I don't think you care enough for me, so I won't go. And yet that invitation still comes. Come to me. You who are weary, who are burdened in your soul, and I will give you rest. I love that. We're going to see how God gave Hannah rest in just a couple of more moments. But he promises to interact with his people. He promises to hear. Our responsibility is to open our hearts to him and go to him. She poured out her heart to the Lord. Look, if you will, to verse 11. It is a wonderful sacrifice. This is what I should have entitled a sacrifice of trust. Listen to what. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, If you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Listen, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 7, because this underlines why she prayed that vow. Deuteronomy 7, 13 and 14 reads, "He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine, and oil, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks, and the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, and nor any of your livestock with young." What God said there to his people is, you follow me and I will open your wombs. I will bless you. And Hannah, in pouring her heart out to the Lord, said, "Give me a son. Open my womb. And I will give him back to you." That was called a Nazarite vow. Samson, one of my other favorite heroes in the Bible, was a Nazarene. He separated himself to God. This particular vow was made during the act of worship. It was a vow of trust. It was a vow of separation, that I will give the thing that is closest to my heart to you, O God, and train him to honor you. I will trust and declare to everybody who sees that God hears, that your life can be trusted and entrusted in God's care. If you give me a son, O God, I will give him back to you. In the midst of this prayer, Peninnah kept saying, "You don't have any children. Wait a minute, did you hear that? Somebody said mom." Oh, I bet they're talking about me. Because guess what? Did you know you didn't have any children? And her heart is worn. She cries out to the Lord. He hears her. And he gives her rest. Some of you may have thought I was going to say Samuel. Yeah, he gave her Samuel, but he gave her rest. Peninnah couldn't dig at her heart any longer because it's gone. The Bible tells us that Satan, as a roaring lion, roams around seeking whom he may devour. And in the issues of life, some of us find ourselves right where Hannah was. The evil one picks at us. And even though other people may not know, it hurts our souls. May I encourage you to turn your eyes to the Lord. Go to him and find that rest. Find that relief, that soul's relief that only God can give. Hannah became a mom, and her trouble was just beginning. It wasn't over, was it? Because the Bible tells us that in this world we will have trouble. But in that trouble, express your grief to the Lord. Turn to him and rely on his rest. On this Mother's Day, May 13th, 2012, may we learn from Hannah's heart. There is nothing too small or too big that I cannot take to God. He hears, He answers, He gives rest. Shall we pray? Father, as I look out and I see the people I love, in my mind I say they can't be going through what Hannah went through. They can't have bitterness in their souls. They can't be crying out for rest. You must be talking about another church. But I know that there are some whose heart remains where Hannah's heart was. And I would pray, O God, that as they turn to You, that the Ancient of Days would once again pour out Your grace and teach again that You hear, You care, and You offer rest. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.